Song is really good.
Okay.
Oh, sorry, hold on. Sorry, folks, we'll be right with you. Here we go.
Okay, just remember, now it's your idea, not ours, right? Anyway, it's a little cowboy song that started something like this.
All right, folks, that's a live version of Quicksilver Messenger Service performing Pride of Man. You can find that online. Highly recommend that one album, the very first album, Quicksilver Messenger Service. Really good stuff. One of the best band, one of the best unknown bands around. How you doing, Pastor Steve?
Well, I'm doing fine. I remember them.
Yeah.
I used to go to their concerts, man.
Yeah.
That tells you how old I am.
Yeah, I never caught them live, but man, that first album
Oh,
blew me
man.
away. Yeah.
Oh, I did.
Yeah.
Boy.
Yeah.
And Janis Joplin and Big Brother and the Holding Company and
Yeah.
all those guys. Oh,
Great,
man.
Grace Slick, right? All those psychedelic.
Yeah. Jefferson Airplane, and then they called it Jefferson Starship.
Yeah, right.
But just all those guys. Creedence Clearwater Revival,
Oh, yeah.
when the whole band was together.
Yeah, the whole California scene, right? Mamas and the Papas.
Oh, yeah.
That
Mamas
was,
and Papas, and just, oh,
yeah.
God.
It got more and more psychedelic as time went on, right? And then disco came in, and there went the psychedelic movement. How did that happen?
I don't know.
Somebody wanted
Better
a change.
drugs? I don't know.
Yeah, right. No, worse drugs. Right. It went from LSD to cocaine. That's what happened, right? So that's what they were taking at the discos and the bars and stuff. All right. Well, welcome,
I
ladies and
guess
gentlemen.
they
Yeah.
were. I wasn't. I was taking Jim Beam and Jack
Yeah.
Daniels.
Right. Yeah, you're a country boy.
That was back in the day. I'm not like that anymore.
Right. No, no, neither am I. I was never a bar. You know, what do you call people who frequent bars? Bar hop. I was never a bar hop.
I was
Occasionally. Yeah,
on the
occasionally.
Harley. Yeah, I
Right.
was.
Yeah, the Harley bars. Yeah, the Harley bars
Oh,
scene. Yeah.
I was a biker, and we had 8 or 10 places, and we'd just go out on a Friday and come home on a Sunday.
Right.
Sleep on the pool tables.
Yeah. Well, I know a lot of guys in Identity who were in that scene, that biker scene. And
Yeah.
left it behind, but they, I've heard a lot of reminiscences of those
Oh,
days.
hey, I didn't say I didn't have a good time.
Right.
Or I had a bad old time. Got and all the fights and all that.
A good time with bad people.
Oh, boy.
That's kind of like
Yeah.
the. Now there are Christian bikers. David in Missouri was involved in a Christian biker scene. They had their own church, biker church.
CMA, right? Christian Motorcyclist Association.
Right, yeah. So they're not all the wild type, you know. They just...
Swamp Fox is bar fly.
Bar flies, right. Yeah, you can fly it out the door.
Not me. It was the other guy that went flying out, usually through the plate glass window.
Yeah, right.
That's all right. No, I never mind. Yeah. Don't get me started, Eli.
Yeah. The bouncer took care of you.
we just finished a video with Professor Truth.
Talking about Revelations, Book of Revelations.
I'm just all fired up from that. We've got on Fridays, we do the ACH show. Then later on, now I recorded a bunch of stuff while Eli was out working. Mm-hmm. And then we do the thing with Professor Truth, and then we do this, man. Fridays are my day. I am hot. I love it, man.
Yeah, yeah.
We're giving the enemy fits out there, folks. Yeah, believe me, they're so we're watching them self-destruct. So that's okay. Yeah. Hey, you know they're gonna get violent before it's over. Because they can't take any sort of little defeats. They panic.
Yeah. Okay, I'm also looking at his comment. This is actually from yesterday. Captain Witness talking about sodium benzoate for joint pain. So it provides a link there. I'll check into that after today's show because I've had my own issues with joint pain. And, I've got my own, I take gelatin for that. Beef gelatin, to be specific, and very specific exercises, which have been working phenomenally.
Glucosamine and chondroitin.
Right, yeah, those kind of, the traditional stuff, the well-known stuff, but my own formulations and specific targeted exercises that have been helping ever since we had that laying on of hands episode at Tabernacles.
And then you wash it all down with a good dose of sangria.
Yeah, there you go. That dissolves it and makes it available to the mitochondria. Mitochondria, not the hypochondria. Okay. Turmeric is, yes.
Oh, it's Friday, folks.
Yeah, right.
Friday.
Turmeric, get off breads and grains. Because not that they are bad in and of themselves, but they're so permeated with GMO and they take all the life out of them. They take the wheat germ out of the wheat, and all you're left with is starch. And, I had
they
a really...
They spray them with all kinds of crap that's not good for you, and it goes in your system.
Yeah.
Now, I do have some ripe German rye bread here.
Uh-huh, okay.
That's pretty good.
And a buddy of mine makes his own bread, which is really good.
Buying good flour is a problem.
Right.
Because the flour that they sell is the same crap they're using to make their commercial bread, and it's just as bad as a doggone bread.
Right. Yeah.
Hello, hello, Brother Hebert and Adolf. Hello.
Okay, I'm posting the link to the Quicksilver Messenger Service session, a live performance of Pride of Man. And you could see that the singer really gets into the lyrics. He's got that snarl in his face. He knows about Mystery Babylon. He's singing about the downfall of Mystery Babylon. He probably knows about the Jews and the Rothschilds. And that's all in the lyrics. It's such an outstanding song.
Well, back in the day, all the rock stars got screwed by the Jews.
That's right.
And they're all hip.
Yep.
To what was going on, because they all got taken for a magic carpet ride there.
By the Jews, right?
Yeah.
And they killed Buddy Holly.
The plane crash, because he wouldn't sign the contract.
Yeah, he was going to start his own record company, and the Jews couldn't have that.
They can't have that.
No way. All right, so I posted the link to the subject for today. The Story of Ephraim Manasseh by Linda Watson. And by way of recap from last week, She gives historical proof down about a quarter of the way down, where she talks about the Greek historian Strabo, who states of the portions thus divided, the first is inhabited in the region toward the north and the ocean by the Scythian nomads and wagon dwellers, and south of these by the Sarmatians. And so these are links to the 10 lost tribes of Israel, known by these different names, Scythians and Sarmatians. From Stephen Collins, he says, with regard to Ephraim's clans, which united to form the Parthian Empire, one of the dominant tribes is the Sakae. And we know that we are the Sak's sons, the sons of Isaac, okay, which is what that word means, okay. Three, the Saxons were descended from the ancient Sakae of Asia. Well, not Asia, in the biblical sense of Asia, which would be Turkey, right? Turkey and parts north.
Yeah, they're not talking about Japan and China.
No, not that far east, okay? Pliny, the name of the Scythians is everywhere changed to that of Germans. Hooray! Hooray for the Germans.
Yeah.
Plutarch, they were at first called Cimmerians, and then not inappropriately Cimbri. Okay, so it's not like the historians don't know about the migrations of the 12 tribes. But this article is specifically about Ephraim and Manasseh, which were known as the Angli and the Egli, as they traversed from Assyria across the Caucasus Mountains toward England, is where England gets its name from, the Angli and the Egli. Okay? So let's pick it up after
Angleland.
That's right, Angleland, exactly. Okay, so she continues, they migrated from Scythia to Germany and Scandinavia. In the first century, they were known as the Suebi. The Suebi, and that whole territory, the Germans called it Schwabenland. Okay.
Schwabenland, yes.
And the Nazis even founded a place in Antarctica called Neuschwabenland. Okay, that's where their flying saucers were. they were working on the flying saucers. For the first time, I actually saw a movie of a German flying saucer taking off, hovering around, and then landing again. I've seen pictures of the Germans' flying saucers, but I've never seen a movie before. So the Nazis were way ahead of us in that regard, okay? They were also developing an atom bomb, but we were ahead of them, okay?
Yeah.
So they had some amazing technology in Nazi Germany.
I wish they would have won.
Yeah, really. Continuing.
I hate to say that.
Yeah. It would be a different world today. The Jews wouldn't be running things. All right.
Absolutely.
Continuing, they actually occupied half of the territory of Germany. Now, the Suebi, they traveled with, they were traveling with another tribe. Yeah, I believe it was the Saxons. The Saxons and the Suebi traveled together. And so they were just one of the sub-tribes of the Angles and Saxons that went along the Danube River, okay? You have several tribes that stuck along the Danube River, and the Suebi were one of them, okay? And that's actually my heritage. My folk are the Schwaben. My whole family is Schwaben. They actually...
My people are from around Wiesbaden.
Okay.
And then we had...
Black Forest.
Then they married into the Scottish clan of Anderson, mm-hmm. and we have our own castle in Scotland.
Right.
The Anderson clan, and during World War II, my dad went up to Scotland and got the family tartan and all the history and brought it home after World War II.
And, right.
So the Scottish and the Germans are kindred peoples.
Right, right.
And a lot of the Irish as well.
Yeah. Yeah, my father is from the Alsace-Lorraine area, and Alsace also harkens back to the Saxons, Sake. It's just pronounced A-L-S-A-C-E. You can see the word Sake in there, okay? And in Germany is a place called Saxony, right? In Schwabenland and München. München is basically Schwabenland, okay, or along the Danube River.
Right.
So a lot of our tribes just reside along the Danube River, and of course the Rhine. So she continues and states, they actually occupied half the territory of Germany. Swabi meaning one's own people. Strabo wrote that the Swabi excel all the others in power and numbers. He describes Swabic peoples, Greek ethne, as having come to dominate Germany between the Rhine and the Elbe, with the exception of the Rhine Valley on the frontier with the Roman Empire and the coastal regions north of the Rhine. They originated from the islands near Norway. I wouldn't say that the Swabi originated there. They originated along the Danube River, so and probably expanded up toward Norway, okay? And settled in the northern Germany near the Baltic Sea called Schleswig-Holstein. In the Oterra of Hålogaland's account, a Norwegian account, tells of a two-day voyage from the Oslo Fjord to Schleswig. In the historian account from Alfred the Great, the Angles came from the islands near Norway. And Alfred states, on these islands dwelt the Engle before they came hither. Okay?
So okay, now we got Adolf Richter has in the chat room, Anglos came from Egypt before the Exodus. That is correct. They went with the tribe of Dan. And all the Nordic tribes, Dansmark and Danube, they were seafarers, and they left before the Exodus. They came all the way over to the continent of North America. They left runic, you know, the writings all over the place. And boy, the historians sure like to ignore that. They deny that, but it's fact. People have photographed all these ancient writings. Our people were all over the place. So, you know, the historians, well, they want to try to control history, but it ain't happening. We know the truth, and it's out, and you're hit.
Right. Well, we're dealing with the overland migrations from and that was Zarajuda and Dan and several other tribes that settled in Britain and Ireland a good 1500 BC, a good 700 years before the overland migration from Assyria. Okay, so the term Angle didn't come to Britain until the overland. You know, they called themselves Celts, actually, is what they called. They called themselves...
Keltoi.
Keltoi. That's right. They called themselves Keltoi. And these same Keltoi migrated into Europe. So the Keltoi, which were Zarajuda, and the Anglos, which were Ferris Judah, met in the middle of Europe and fought against each other, as we always do, right? Well. So, yeah. And but the vast majority of historians have no idea that these people were in fact Israelites. Okay, so that's what we're discussing. All right, so let's get back to this article. Now she, so even King Alfred. Now by the time of Alfred, but even what was it the Declaration of Arbroath, which was 600 A.D., maybe a bit later. In which the British say that, that we came to these lands so many hundred years after the Israelites left Egypt, okay, showing that they understood that they were descendants of the Israelites, okay, but gradually throughout history, this realization, this knowledge that the European tribes are descendants of the Israelites, that began to diminish with time. Okay, especially under the rule of the Catholic Church.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the Catholic Church put the kibosh on real history, and they tried to steal our history, okay, and destroy. And they destroyed the history of Britain. They tried to wipe it out totally, okay, with the cooperation of the Jews. All right, so she continues. The history of Bede after the fall of Rome. The Angles split up and founded the kingdoms of Nordanglen in Northumbria, which is eastern England. Wikipedia, Angles. Bede states that the Angli, before coming to Great Britain, dwelt in a land called Angulus, which lies between the province of the Jutes and the Saxons, and remains unpopulated to this day. Now, that's interesting.
Jutland
is the tribe of Judah. Mm-hmm. So we know that these tribes traveled within each other's vicinity, but they still maintained their tribal allegiance to the original 12 tribes as much as possible. Okay? And so they would have done this for up until the Roman Wars, when they would have maintained... But because most of them had become paganized and were already paganized before Yahweh kicked them into Europe, into the wilderness of Europe, many of the tribes would have lost their identity entirely because of their paganism. All right? But in England, Wales, and Ireland, and Scotland, they had the king lists, in which they showed their descent. They still have these king lists today. Their descent to the biblical Israelites. All right?
Yeah, and Welsh, the Welsh language is virtually identical to Hebrew.
That's correct. So, that Jutland is today known as Denmark. It's the same mm-hmm. peninsula, all right?
Dansmark,
right? Similar evidence is given by the Historia Brittonum. King Alfred the Great and the chronicler Ethelwerd, and you can see these are Anglo-Saxon names. Ethelwerd, you know, it's Germanic and English, because both the German language and the English language evolved from Anglo-Saxon, which is part German, part Hebrew. Okay.
All right.
Okay. With a district that is now called Angeln, in the province of Schleswig. The Angles, a common etymology with Anglo in Anglo-Saxon, and Angleterre, the French name for England, settled in the eastern Anglia counties such as Norfolk and Suffolk. The Saxons settled the rest of England and pushed the original Britons further west in England. By far the heaviest concentration of people who migrated to America from England came from the Anglia counties where the Angles had settled. Oddly enough, the Angles, whose descendants comprised much of America's Anglo population, gave their name to England, which means Angle land. The word Angle is probably derived from the Hebrew word Egla, meaning heifer of the wild ox or unicorn. Now, the symbol of Joseph is the bull.
British.
Right.
The covenant man.
Mm-hmm. Covenant man.
Barit. Covenant-ish
right.
man.
Yeah,
covenant
now, man? Now, so you see this symbol on the crown, the official colors of the British Empire, the unicorn of Joseph and the lion of Judah, okay? Because as we see, England was settled by the tribe of Ephraim and Manasseh, which is Joseph, and by Judah, okay? Mm-hmm. All right? So that's why... And there were never any lions in England, so why would a country have the lion as in its national colors, a national coat of arms? That's because it harkens back to their origin in Judah, okay? The word Angle is probably derived from the Hebrew word egla, meaning a heifer of the wild ox or unicorn, which is one of the animals on the British coat of arms. Instead, England is primarily Saxon, and Anglo-Americans are descendants of the Angles, which is very interesting that the founding fathers of America, basically what she's saying is that America was primarily settled by the Angles, okay, and not by the other British. Symbols of Joseph, Deuteronomy 33:17. His glory is like the firstling of his bull, and his horns are like the horn of a unicorn. With them he shall push the people together unto the ends of the earth. And they are the 10,000s of Ephraim, and they are the thousands of Manasseh. Deuteronomy 33:17. So, like a bull, we storm through the countryside, right? The Angles and Saxons, the Suebi, etc. You know, the push... The migratory push of the Israelite people is extraordinary. Why? Because our population constantly expanded. We were making more Israelites this whole time while we were forgetting who we are, right? And so, but the awakening has already happened. The awakening is in progress. But of course, Yahweh is the one doing the pushing. He's the one who told us that he would scatter us into the wilderness and that we would become nations. This prophecy was given to Abram. Even before.
Then he would gather his remnant in the last
That's
day.
Right. That our population would be as the sands of the sea and the stars in the sky. There would be so many Israelites you could not count them. Well, up until World War I, the white race was the most populous race on the planet. So if you want to talk about a Holocaust, talk about the white race Holocaust, the Holocaust of the Anglo-Saxons. She continues, Manasseh uses the symbol of the unicorn. According to the Midrash, a unicorn, Reem, and that's the original symbol in the Adam's, what do you call it? What's the Hebrew term for the symbols in the skies? Okay.
His constellations.
Constellations, yeah. That Adam, Seth, and Enoch actually devised what we call, it's not astrology, it wasn't astrology to them, it was
astronomy.
It was astronomy, and the constellations symbolized periods in the life of Christ, okay? In any case, a unicorn was represented on the standard of Manasseh, son of Joseph, according to Yar Davidi, the tribes, page 220. The royal coat of arms of the United Kingdom, or Great Britain, there is a lion and a unicorn standing on its hind feet. So both of them are on their hind feet. Today, Manasseh, represented by England, east of the body of water we call the Atlantic Ocean, and Canada, west of the body, still lies north of Ephraim, the United States of America. In ancient times, the tribe of Manasseh was itself divided into two half-tribes, one located east of the Jordan River, in Palestine, she says, and one west of the Jordan River, and just north of the tribe of Ephraim. So our positioning has remained relatively the same. Interestingly, in modern times, the same geographic position has been maintained by the descendants of these ancient tribes. Today, Manasseh, represented by England, east of the body of water called the Atlantic Ocean, and Canada, west of that body, still lies north of Ephraim, the United States of America. Now, just by population alone, the thousands of Manasseh and the 10,000s of Ephraim will tell you America is, the Americans outnumber the British enormously, probably 10 to 1. So that's another indication that America is Ephraim and that Britain is Manasseh. Okay, I know there are people who believe the opposite, but it's also the case that Ephraim was the last son of the younger son of Joseph. Manasseh was the elder son, but Jacob blessed Ephraim more, even over the objection of Joseph. Okay, so what we're seeing is that holds true also. Sorry, I have to try to decline this damn call. Thing won't let me. All right. Okay, getting back. All right, Ephraim was a bull in Deuteronomy 33:17. A firstborn bull is followed by a wild ox, actually in Hebrew, reem, i.e. unicorn. America uses the symbol of the bull, or at least Wall Street does. Wall Street has a symbol of a large bull. Many of the coat of arms for the states has a bull on it, okay? I really haven't done any research onto the coat of arms of the various states. But from the mere fact that America is hugely bigger than Great Britain in population, and actually, the American Empire, even though the British Empire, the sun never set on the British Empire, I think everyone would agree that our military capacity far outweighs anything Britain ever had. And America, and Ephraim being the archer with loads of arrows, you know, our air force, the greatest that ever the world has ever seen. The fact that Ephraim is the younger. And that all relates to us being Ephraim, okay, and not Manasseh. But I generally say that Ephraim and Manasseh, that is the descendants of Joseph, are the English-speaking Israelites, okay? And that, there's no denying, that's who we are. Now she goes into Ephraim as the 13th tribe. Ephraim was the 13th tribe because Levi had not yet been divided among the other tribes. Ephraim was the 13th tribe because he was born after his brother Manasseh. He was born last to Joseph in Egypt after Manasseh, the 12th tribe. The U.S. flag has 13 stripes. The U.S. originally had 13 colonies. In the U.S. seal, we find 13 stars above an eagle. Also, 13 arrows clutched in its left claw, and an olive branch with 13 leaves in its right claw, with a shield of 13 red and white stripes. Now, as far as I know, this shield was designed by Benjamin Franklin and a couple of other notable founding fathers. Is there a hint that they understood that America is Ephraim?
I do believe so. They were Bible scholars.
Yes, they were. And they certainly called America.
Well, they didn't have a lot of textbooks back then.
Right.
So they studied the Bible in schools.
That's right.
And school is shul.
Mm-hmm. Shul like in German.
Shul is Hebrew for school.
Right. Okay. Very good. And Sheol is Hebrew for hell. Not much difference, is there? Okay. Slight difference in pronunciation. All right. The number 13 is associated with Ephraim and with America. Ephraim's symbols were an olive branch, while his second symbol is a bundle of arrows. The first will be last, and the last will be first. Okay, so Ephraim was the last tribe to be born, and has become the leading tribe of the planet. Our Jews are better than your Jews. Further proof.
Oh, man. All right.
Further proof. Ephraim is always associated with the West. Ephraim would pitch his camp in the West with Manasseh and Benjamin. Numbers 2, 18 through 22. Numbers 2, 18, on the west side shall be the standard of the camp of Ephraim according to their armies. And she has a nice depiction of the encampment of the tribes in the wilderness. When you read Ezekiel chapter 1, you notice that the image has four faces. A face of a man, face of a lion, face of an ox, face of an eagle. These faces represent the four tribes led by Reuben, Judah, Ephraim, and Daniel. Reuben's symbol was a man, Judah's symbol was a lion, Ephraim's symbol was an ox, and Dan's symbol was an eagle. You will also notice that the ox is on the left side of the camp, which is the west. Okay, so Reuben, just to throw it out there, we generally associate Reuben with France, especially the Sun Kingdom, when France was in its heyday. Degenerate in actual fact, very wealthy, right? The aristocracy of France, probably the most degenerate aristocracy of all. And Reuben was the one who laid with his mother.
He defiled his with one of the concubines.
Yeah.
He defiled his father's couch.
That's right. And that with sexual proclivity.
Not his mother. One of the concubines.
His mother's sister, I guess. I don't know how you'd call it when you have multiple wives. Sorry, as Jacob did. Reuben's symbol was a man. Judah's symbol was a lion. Ephraim's symbol was an ox, etc. Ezekiel 1:10. As for the likeness of their faces, they four had the face of a man, the face of a lion, the right side, and they four had the face of an ox on the left side. They four also had the face of an eagle. So you see this biblical symbolism of the four cardinal tribes continues even into the book of Revelation. Okay. And in the
Comparé did a big study on that as well.
Yeah. And so more proof that the book of Revelation is all about Israel and not about any other people, certainly not about the Jews, okay? And so this symbolism carries on from the Old Testament into the New Testament all the way through the book of Revelation, and these four symbols are repeatedly, in the book of Revelation several times. If you don't know that these symbols represent these four tribes, then you don't know the Bible very well, okay? Ephraim was to go to the north, which is Europe, and the west, which is Great Britain and America. Isaiah 49:12, behold, these shall come from far, and lo, these from the north and from the west, and these from the land of Sinim. Now, Sinim must have had a Near East connotation, because I think some Bible scholars consider it to be China, but I don't think they went that far east, so Sinim had to have had a Near East connotation. Isaiah 49:20, the children which thou shalt have after thou hast lost the other shall say again in thine ears, the place is too strait for me, give place to me that I may dwell. Isaiah 49:21, then shalt thou say in thine heart, who hath begotten me these, seeing I have lost my children, and am desolate, a captive, and removing to and fro? And who hath brought up these? Behold, I was left alone, these where they had been. I believe this is Rachel's lament, trying to locate her children in the future world. Okay, Rachel's lament. They will push west. Both Ephraim and Manasseh pushed westward. Manasseh pushed westward to Great Britain and Ephraim to America. Notice that Ephraim was to follow the east wind. The east wind blows west. Hosea 12:1 prophesies, Ephraim followeth after an east wind. They do make a covenant with the Assyrians. Now that's interesting, because isn't it the case, Pastor Steve, that Nineveh, which was in the later stages of Assyria, of the Assyrian Empire, and the Assyrians were an offshoot of Shem. They were originally a Shemitic people, but they became very paganized and very ruthless and became troublesome to Israel. And Yahweh used them to place the Israelites in captivity. Okay? But Nineveh appears to have been a city that had a, how should I put it, the Israelites getting along pretty well with the Shemitic Assyrians, as the book of Jonah describes, because Jonah virtually converted the entire city of Nineveh, which was a gigantic city.
Correct.
And, which means that a lot of those people had to be, at least to some extent, Yahweh believers in order to take his warning seriously. Okay? Through Moses, God had prophesied that Joseph would push the peoples to the end of the earth, Deuteronomy 33:17. Rallying to the cry of manifest destiny, the Americans did what Israelites have been doing for centuries. They moved west. Go west, young man, go west. Deuteronomy 33:17 again, his glory is like the firstling of his bullock, and his horns are like the horns of unicorns. With them he shall push the people together to the ends of the earth. We've gone so far west, we're almost back east. Further proof. America outnumbers Britain. American population is 250 million compared to Britain, which is 57 million. I think she's quoting the white population here. I think the total population in America is like 350 million. The whites are still the majority here. And they are the 10,000s of Ephraim, and they are the thousands of Manasseh. America was to be a land of refuge. Our forefathers understood that America was a land of refuge for the Christian people, and many of the founders referred to America as American Israel. They weren't shy about comparing America to Israel of the Bible. So the eagle on the American symbol represents the eagle in Revelation 12:14. The eagle symbolizes a place of safety from the persecution that was going on in Europe and Britain at that time. Now, it's also worth mentioning here that the Boer people, who left Europe, you know, perhaps slightly earlier than the Pilgrims, but it was roughly around the same time. The Boer people were also of the tribe of Judah and probably the tribe of Reuben, because there were some Frenchmen involved, and some Danes and some Zebulon, Holland. And they went on Holland ships, which were owned by Jews, of course, the Dutch East India Corporation. And they settled in South Africa, and they had a very similar history to our Pilgrims. Okay? And the Jews pursued them for their wealth, for their prosperity, as they pursued us. Okay? So wherever we go, the Jews pursue us and steal our wealth. It's an old story, folks. Old, old story. Deuteronomy 32:11. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. So that song, that very famous, I am the wings that take you everywhere. Well, that's Yahweh. And he was using Ephraim and Manasseh. Now, Dan had a slightly different trajectory. Dan, as we talked about earlier, was with Zerah Judah in Ireland. And that Tuatha De Danann is a reference to the tribe of Dan, the earliest residents of Ireland. Okay. Zerah Judah came a little later, and they also had a brief war until they realized that they were brethren. And then the tribe of Dan acknowledged that Zerah Judah is the kingly tribe, and they submitted to Zerah Judah. And then they moved over to Britain and called themselves Scots, okay? And
that from Skota.
From Skota, and that's one of the daughters of King Zedekiah.
Okay. Skota-ish, man of Skota.
Right, right. So, and that was a Pharez Judah tribe. So we see in Ireland, Zerah Judah and Pharez Judah got together by marriage. But Skada never went to Ireland. Her sister Tia Teffy, also now known as Tara, married the King of Ireland. Zerah, the King of Ireland, married the queen, the Pharez queen of Judah. So the two branches of Judah were reunited in Ireland at that time. I believe it was Hermann. Hermann, I believe, was the name of the king that she married. But anyway, the two branches of Judah were reunited by that marriage, okay, which took place in Ireland. And the hill of Tara Hill is named after Tia Teffy, okay? And they recently found a couple of Egyptian ships that under the ground there, because as Jeremiah and Baruch tell us that he took the king's daughters first to Egypt, and then from then to points west, Spain and Ireland. Okay, very subtle prophecies about the spreading abroad of the tribes and the reuniting of the two branches of the house of Judah. She goes on next. The purpose of Ephraim. Isaiah 49:6. And he said, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the nations, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. Okay. So this is talking about all 12 tribes. Okay. It says tribes in the plural of Jacob. And that we have been a light to the nations. The Jews have never been a light to the nations. And certainly not the tribe of Judah by itself. It's been all 12 tribes that have been a light to the nations. As Yahshua says, ye are the light of the world.
Yep.
Okay? That's us. It's not talking about Jews.
That's us.
No, the Jews have never brought light anywhere. Okay? The 10 lost...
The burning cities.
Yeah, there you go, right? The 10 lost tribes are linked with the ends of the earth. Genesis 33:13. Isaiah 41:8, 9, and 13. The northern tribes are led by Ephraim. Ezekiel 37:16. Moreover, thou son of man, take thee one stick and write upon it for Judah and for the children of Israel, his companions. Then take another stick and write upon it for Joseph and the stick of Ephraim, for all the house of Israel is his companions. Now, the two sticks prophecy states very clearly that these two separate sticks, one representing Judah and Benjamin, and the other representing the other 10 tribes, will be reunited. Okay? So if the Jews are Israel, when did all these tribes reunite? Never happened, folks. Never happened. But it did happen here in America, where we have all 12 tribes, actually all 13, with Levi being present in many of the tribes. And the German word for Levi is Ludwig. Ludwig. Okay?
Ludwig.
characteristics of the tribe. Wine drinking. Uh-oh. let me push away my glass of sangria here. It was claimed that Ephraim was to become a people who drank too much wine. To Isaiah 28:1, wine is produced in abundance in U.S., California, Oregon. The British
Battle
are...
Battle of wine, yeah. Fruit of the vine, when you're gonna let me get sober.
Right, yeah, right. The British are not known as wine bibbers, but their drink of choice is beer or ale. I don't know if ale and beer are the same. They have never tasted the same to me.
No, ale is much stronger.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And the range of flavors is quite drastic for ale. It can taste like syrup. It can taste like syrup. And, you know, it can taste like dirt. Right? But that's ale. It's much heavier. It's a much heavier brew than beer. Yeah. Okay. All right, so beer is a completely different beverage. I think everybody will agree with that. This, again, points to the U.S. being Ephraim in the majority. Now you can't make a sharp delineation. However, the most of the signs point to the U.S. being Ephraim. Number two, it was claimed that Ephraim was prophesied to become joined to idols, Hosea 4:17. Idols abound in modern U.S.A., just look at Madonna and Britney Spears.
Football players.
Yeah, football players, baseball players. Yeah, yeah. We love our sports. Well, so the Europeans have soccer. But it was the Americans that invented football, baseball, although Britain has its version of baseball. What's that called? Cricket. And actually, baseball is a version of cricket, where they added bases as you run around the bases. And cricket doesn't have that. At least I don't think it does. Anyway, but we love our sports. And so do the Germans. So do the British. Our people love sports. Jews, it's hard to find a Jewish sportsman. It really is. If there is such thing as a Jewish sportsman, he's usually a half-breed. And it's a non-Jewish side of him that throws the football or throws the baseball. Okay. A pure Jew sportsman is one of the rarest creatures on earth. Ephraim is a cake unturned, burnt on one side, white on the other. See you down at the tanning spa. Aliens have devoured his strength, but he does not know it. Oh, man. Does that describe us today? Our military is totally controlled by Jews. 100%. Totally. So is our politics and our economics, but so is that of Britain. Hosea 7:8, Ephraim, he hath mixed himself among the people. Ephraim is a cake not turned. Strangers have devoured his strength, and he knoweth it not. Yea, gray hairs are here and there upon him, yet he knoweth not. We have this youth culture here in America as well. I think that's due to advertising, which the Jews also control, right? You got to look young. That's why the whole cosmetics industry.
Yeah, I am a youth.
Yeah, right. They began mixing early in their history in the land of Israel. In Judges 1:29, Ephraim did not drive out the Canaanites who lived in Gezer, so the Canaanites lived in Gezer among them. Three, there, and that's one of the reasons why Yahweh drove us out of the Canaan land.
And got rid of the old geezers. Huh?
That's right. Their pride can... Now, you actually get a couple of merits for that one. Their pride continually got them in trouble. They showed their pride, jealousy, they're the ugly American, and self-centeredness when Jephthah chose to fight and defeat the Ammonites without the aid of the proud Ephraim warriors. A civil war erupted, resulting in 42,000 warriors from Ephraim being killed. Okay, and man, there's been no end of Ephraimite warriors being killed in Jewish wars. That's due to our pride. Okay, verse 4, or item number 4. He also condemned Israel, meaning the 10 tribes, because they sold the righteous for silver. Okay. And, you know, the U.S. dollar. What's that old song? Rum and Coca-Cola, working for the Yankee dollar. That Yankee dollar still rules the world, even though the Jews control it. Punishment lifted. Israel's punishment was 7 years for every year they did not let the land rest. Israel's punishment was 360 times 7, meaning 2,520 prophetic years in fulfillment. If we count 2,520 years from 718 to 721, we come to AD 1800-1803. America received the Louisiana Purchase in 1803. Even more importantly, the first half-tribe of Manasseh was taken into captivity in 745 B.C., and 2,025 years later, the Declaration of Independence was declared. Okay, so from the very first tribe taken into captivity, we became the 12 tribes here in America. 2,520 years of prophetic history, folks. Okay. Ephraim in prophecy. We have about 8 minutes left. Ephraim will destroy Esau.
Oh, yeah.
Whoa, I'm looking forward to that. Oh, man. I like that. I never looked at it that way, but she quotes Obadiah here. Obadiah 1:18, and the house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau for stubble, and they shall kindle in them and devour them, and there shall not be any remaining of the house of Esau, for Yahweh hath spoken it. Well, if we take this prophecy literally, that means the American people will fight to the death against the Jews and win.
Yep.
Okay. George Washington's prophecy states, his prophecy that was given to him by the messenger at Valley Forge, he saw three visions. One, the America expanding from coast to coast. Number two, a black cloud coming from Africa, which symbolized black slavery, culminating in the Civil War, and then a red cloud coming from Europe.
That's the commies.
That's the commies. That's the Edomite commies. Esau means red. Okay? And he said that the nation will be virtually overcome by this third cloud. There will be fighting. There will be hand-to-hand fighting in every city in America.
Edom means red.
Edom means red. Oh, okay. Hosea 12:1 prophesies, quote, Ephraim followeth after an east wind. They do make a covenant with the Assyrians. A covenant is an agreement or an alliance. Since Israel and Assyria were never allies in ancient biblical days, this argues for a latter-day fulfillment. Is Ephraim to be allied to modern Assyria? Well, I think, she says yes. Assyria settled in the land of Germany. Well, Acer, I think the Nordics referred to their origin as Acer. But this doesn't mean that they were Assyrians. It means that the Germans had lived in Assyria for quite a long time. Okay? And the language they speak, which is called German today, is Parsi, derived from Parsi, which is an Assyrian dialect. Still spoken in, various. But the particular province from which the German people are named is Kerman, and that is a province in Assyria. So even the Nordics have a trace of our migratory history. They just don't reject the idea that we are Israel. Okay. The British and Americans have made numerous covenants with Germany via NATO, the European Union, etc. Hosea 14:3. Well, we need to unite one last time against you know who. Hosea 14:3 adds that a time will come when Ephraim will realize it should have relied on God instead of its covenant with Assyria. It prophesies Ephraim will say, Asher will not save us, indicating it learns that security comes from God, not its alliances with other nations such as Assyria or the various, how about the United Nations?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, how about that organization? Isaiah 27:12-13 prophesies that in that day you shall be gathered one by one, Remember how many times have we quoted this, that Yahweh will regather his children one by one? Okay. There will not be a mass conversion to Christian identity.
Nope.
It's going to be like the dripping of a, what do you call that in chemistry? That vial that you drip one compound into another until it changes, right? So one by one, it's going to be slow but sure, because Yahweh has proclaimed it. The great trumpet shall be blown, and they shall come which were ready to perish in the land of Assyria and the outcasts in the land of Egypt, and shall worship the Lord in the holy mount at Jerusalem. Now, Jerusalem being figurative, because we know that literal Jerusalem is under a curse. Okay, there's only one more section here. I think we can squeeze this in for the balance of the show. Proof that Scotland is Judah. It was prophesied that Ephraim and Manasseh would go to war against Judah. Wow.
Yep.
This has happened many times. The Milesians who settled Ireland, that happened in the old days, you know, right after Solomon and the separation of the two kingdoms. They made war upon each other several times. The Milesians who settled in Ireland were a tribe of Judah. We know the Irish people, Mile is the one who married Scotta. We know the Irish people moved into the land of Scotland. For further proof, see our teaching on the Trojan kings. Ephraim and Manasseh both lived in the land of Britain for many centuries, went to war with Scotland. Also, many of the Scottish-Irish people moved to America and settled in the mountains of Tennessee. I know a lot of those people. The American Civil War was a war between Ephraim in the north and Judah in the south. Quite likely. Quite likely. Isaiah 9:21, Manasseh Ephraim, and Ephraim Manasseh, and they together shall be against Judah. For all this is his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. And of course, the prophets tell us that no matter what happens to Israel, Israel will continue to survive.
That's right.
Right?
I got a shotgun rifle and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive.
Yeah. I am Yahweh. I change not. Israel is not consumed. Israel is not consumed. That means all 12 tribes will continue to exist into the kingdom and forever. All right? It'll never be the case that only one tribe survives, the Jews.
Well, with the feasts and all the stuff that we see the remnant picking up. We see it. We see the results of our work here, the downloads, the comments, the spreading of the shows by other people, download them and then send them on. People are waking up. They are receptive to this message. Yahweh's word does not go out in vain.
Amen.
Okay, and that's, why do you do what you do? Because we love our brethren.
Yes.
And that's the whole deal. Our kinsmen are very important to us.
Amen.
But no matter what tribe they are, they're all of Israel. And that's the main deal.
That's it. That's what we live for.
If the enemy can't figure that out, that's just too bad.
Yeah, unfortunately, the enemy is still among our own people. Yahshua said one's main enemies will be those of your own household. Okay. We are hated because we teach the truth.
If they choose to be tares, that's on them, man.
That's on them.
We can't shove it down anybody's throat. We can't do that.
That's right. We can't do that. All right, folks. Thanks for listening. I think we have covered the two tribes of Ephraim and Manasseh fairly well. Linda Watson done a really good job in this article.
Yes, she did.
Yes, and we may even get a chance to have her come aboard and be a guest of ours one of these days. So I do have her contact info. So thanks for listening, and we'll pick another tribe, maybe tribe of Judah. Judah is more complicated because we have to do Zerah Judah and Pharez Judah, but that will be a lot of fun. Okay? All right, folks, thanks for listening. We'll see you next time. Yahweh bless.
May Yahweh bless and keep you.
right. Got that in the nick of time. Okay, let me see.
Oh, that was good.
Yeah, I got to turn.